Hi, my name is Brianna George, creator of Studio St. George, a full-service branding and design studio with a special focus on the hospitality industry. You're listening to a short interview series we've named Gastro Gossip, where we'll be speaking with insiders in the hospitality industry, from chefs and mixologists to restaurateurs and the designers that make their ideas come to life. Morgan Rye is an established hospitality designer, restaurateur, and cookbook author. Known for her hospitality feng shui, we'll discuss Morgan's fascinating family history of hoteliers, how her nomadic lifestyle has influenced how she designs, and her future designing for space.
You really have to be passionate about what you're making in hospitality because it's what fuels you. If you don't have that passion.
Well, and I think there is that commonality. You know, people in the restaurant industry, they're creatives at heart. Like, even if it's service, you know, if you're a mixologist, you're creating, whether you're the creator of a restaurant or the chef. Same with designers, where it's like you have to love what you're doing or it's not going to be worth your time.
Hello.
Hi, this is so cool.
I know, it's so easy, right?
Welcome. So we're just going to dive right in.
So you are from Nebraska, and you said hospitality runs in your veins. It's part of your family or history. Tell me a little bit about how that sort of fed your background a little bit too.
We'll go way, way back, but my family, my great-grandfather and great-grandmother, they met in China. My great-grandmother was, she's Cantonese from what is now Hong Kong, and was of the upper class. Like, she knew English and she could read and write, but she refused to bind her feet. And because she had unsightly feet in those days, they were like, no, you know, proper Chinaman would marry you. So she was allowed to marry my German great grandfather, who he imported beer mainly for himself, but he also kind of sold it. But during those times, and they met in Tsingtao, but had their son, my grandfather, in Shanghai, and they had three hotels throughout China.
What, Morgan?
I know. Like, when I found out about this through my uncle telling these stories, because we don't know a whole lot about that. But so, you know, there were those hotels. They've since been destroyed during the wartime and whatnot. But so they already had run hotels. And I found receipts and photos of hotels that my grandmother would stay in Germany. Like, she would keep all the receipts. which it was pretty fascinating seeing that. So there's always a love for hotels. And then bringing it more towards me, I mean, it was my heartbreaking story when my parents divorced, but it also is what helped shape me and really allowed me to expand and grow. And when that happened, my mother had moved out and into the hotel that was, or the motel, really, because we were living in South Dakota, and she worked the front desk. And so she got to stay behind the desk in the little apartment. And so we would stay there sometimes, my brother and I. And even prior to that, you know, she was working there, and I, you know, earned change to buy candy with picking cigarette buckets around the pool. And then I worked in the laundry room folding clothes. I was fascinated with all these tunnels and the back of houseways in the hotel. And then, you know, she on occasion was also a housekeeper, a maid there. She kind of moved around based on what their needs were, because it was a smaller town. So sometimes it'd be front desk, sometimes it'd be housekeeping. And I started making beds. And then when I was, I must have been like 12 or 13, I was able to, or maybe a little younger, somewhere around those years, I was able to start being a housekeeper in the summer to earn some money. Because I always wanted to buy nice clothes. That was my thing. Save up my money,
right?
And buy clothes.
There's the motivator.
So yeah, and that during high school, during the earlier years, that was what I did in the summer. And so I really got a taste of working in the hotels through the family.
I want there to be like just a maybe even like a short film about your life, because whenever I hear that part that you describe, I just have this like very clear, I don't know, I can like see it on a movie screen, just like that kind of like no words, just kind of like a montage of like you in like a little hotel, like picking up cigarette butts. It's just such a vivid way to describe it.
It's swimming in that pool. That's wonderful. I would love that to be made. You know, it's like, hey, Wes Anderson, are you listening? No. Right.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I already have it. In my head, yeah. We can just pitch it to him.
Oh, that would be a dream come true. Oh my goodness.
okay, so then from there, so then you were in, you went straight to California.
Yes, like, because they, where's that? Right? We had moved to the bigger city, and then when it was 17, a month after high school, I'd gotten into art school a year before I graduated. At that time, I was a planner and really wanted to go out and see the world. So yeah, I moved to San Diego to go to the art school down there. And I originally started in advertising. So I really wanted to design all the swag for bands. So I wanted to design album covers and posters, yes, and merch. Yeah. But within first semester at school, I heard about the interior design program starting, and I got really jealous. I'm like, I switched to that in California. I couldn't take any interior design classes until it started. So I got to take fun classes like making your own typeface and videography and so many little, intro courses that I was able to take, which seem to be playing a big role in my life right now.
Oh, how cool. Yeah, I love, the more kind of skills you even just have that fundamental knowledge of, it's just so helpful. And
yeah, like fun. My first class Monday morning of college was life drawing. And like, this girl from South Dakota, right? Goes to California, and this is the first class. She's just like, they take off the clothes, and you're like, whoa, okay, welcome to college.
Just be cool.
And I'm like sitting front row because I was such a student, But it was really good for me to have that experience.
So basically, so then California, and then you went straight to Seattle.
So before Seattle, I was in Milan for my graduate program.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's
oh, it
for
was
sure,
like,
I would imagine.
It humbled me because I felt like such a little hotshot graduating, being the first in my class, the first interior, person to graduate from interior design. And, and I was just thinking back to my whole thesis project, and I had branded myself. Like I had this whole, almost like a room set up, like a chair with my logo on it. I had Jones Soda with my artistic rendering, like on the label, had those made, like I had done my brand.
Yes.
I was full what? On. And so it was just, like, look at me, and then go to Italy. And this was being in a foreign country. I mean, I had been to Mexico, come on, college life, and then Canada, but this is another country. And it was an international program, so we had 40 people from 20 different countries just in our program, and there were about 5 or 6 other majors that you could take, from car design to business and fashion, that kind of thing. And then they called it interior and living design, which I really liked because it wasn't necessarily about the four walls and a roof.
Yeah, did you just say car design?
They had automotive cars? Design. I was not in there, but what I loved about the school, this was Domus Academy, they would partner up some of the majors together to work on projects. So you never knew, you know, who you'd be working really cool. with or collaborating with. They were very much about collaborating with people from different cultures and backgrounds. And sometimes you didn't even speak the language of the person. There was a language barrier. And how do you work around that? And it was really challenging, but so rewarding. And all of those friends have played a major role and also led to me exploring more of the world, because it was nice knowing that I more or less knew someone wherever I went, you know, and there was a connection. So that was a really wonderful program. And
I'm super jealous. That sounds awesome. That's
it was great, but it was also, oh my gosh, I think it was it's like brokest I'd ever been. Like I was teaching English to the Korean students as a way to pay for my food and I think even my housing. Like it was like my food came from the vending machines, like, which is, it was really, oh my gosh. But you know, if the place that you're gonna do it, like Italy was the place to be, because you know the food is such high quality for such an affordable price. So you know, we're still ate well.
Oh, that's great. And then from there, did you?
So it went to San Diego or to Milan, and then to Seattle. I had kind of dropped into Texas for a brief moment because that's where my mother and her family are. So I landed there, and then had a lead on a 3-month position in Seattle. And so I was like, I'm gonna go up there and do that. And was designing like the lobbies for these luxury residents, and had done like the 3D rendering for them, which I don't know if I could still do that. But
and this is,
it was, yeah, I had been working doing the 3D renderings while in school to kind of pick up a little change. And then, you know, that led into me going out to Seattle to helping, you know, stage the furniture and get it ready. So it was really cool because seeing the 3D rendering and building that, and then going there and seeing like how close it was to the rendering.
Isn't it wild? I mean, that's my favorite part of, and also why I want to kind of be closer to the hospitality space, because seeing it in real life being used the way you wanted it to be used, it's just such a rewarding, like, you're like, oh, it's real, you know. It's so much of our designs can stay online, and I'm just, and it's so nice.
I think that was really what helped me in my career, was the majority of my projects were built, you know. I got to see that. There's maybe a few that I haven't seen yet, but I've seen pictures of. There's still some that they're still being built right now, and worked on them 5 years ago. But so it takes time, and it's you really have to be patient. But I know designers that still have not seen their work realized because, you know, things have happened, or and so, you know, to keep being in that conceptual phase, I think that would be really challenging. It's so rewarding to see it come to life and see, because things will change innately, like they might be out of something, or the contractor or someone makes a decision on the site. So it's nice to see. And then it's a learning, because you're like, did I communicate this design in a simple way that's very easy to understand? Because that's a big part of it. It's visual communication. And you're communicating to your client, and then as well to the person that's building it.
And it's having, because, you know, we as designers have, you know, a design language. And not everyone necessarily speaks that language. So it's, you know, it's always,
you do, you forget. Do. And I, again, because, and that relates again to the feng shui. It's like, why, you know, what is the reason for putting this here? And people, they, when they understand a little bit more of it, they're more accepting. I mean, they don't have to fully understand it, but I think just even just being like, okay, there is a reason, there's an intention behind this placement.
Yes. I want to kind of get into sort of, well, tell me what your like most current project is, and then kind of tell me how you got there from where you started.
Sure. Well, it's a great question because it's really evolved during these times, but also it's like evolved, but it still is what I set out to do. And, you know, 5 years ago, I said I was going to start a revolution. 3 years ago, I started room service, which is the offering, the service side of doing intuitively guided into your design, you know, utilizing feng shui and all these principles and tools and techniques I've picked up along the way. And then that's evolved into, you know, room servicio, which is a bit more tech focused and towards, you know, the new luxuries of life and global nomads, you know, living, fully living. And what does that mean? Which you're probably like, what does that mean?
No, I love that. Tell us more, because your life kind of embodies that sort of nomadic kind of, I mean, at least in the last couple of years, you've sort of taken that on and really, really done some beautiful things there, just in the different places you've lived and things like that.
Well, to me, it's quite interesting. Well, one, when that first started, I was like, oh yes, I'm going to do this. You know, I wanted to quick switch it over and start doing it. But what I've learned is, you know, things really do take time. And with that, I've had to spend the last year or so, you know, actually living the life of a global nomad, you know, like really embodying that. And that meant living out of hotels, living out of Airbnbs, you know, getting ready to pack up and go, getting rid of all of my material things, or at least, you know, putting them in little hiding spots for maybe collecting those treasures later. So it was a full-on research and immersion of not only what's on the market for hospitality, what's deemed as luxury, but then taking it into my space and being like, well, what is luxury to me? What is nomadic living to me? And, you know, I'm doing this nomadic life as, you know, I'm in my mid-30s. So this is not like backpacking around, you know, this is being able to have a good cup of coffee. I've even started making my own bread, you know, like how can you live a so-called normal life, you know, or having a routine, and that's a better term, a routine while exploring, because a good number of us, we want to explore and see the world, and we, you know, our terms of grounding might mean we might ground for a month or 2 weeks, and that's enough grounding for us. So, you know, we don't have to, that doesn't mean we have to ground into a house and kids, or, you know, that can also be mobile, as we're seeing more.
Yeah, exactly. Not that that necessarily means you're just tied to one place. You can still make that and still explore at the same time. I mean, that is a luxury for sure.
It is, but, you know, and I think that's something that through this I've realized how luxurious my life has been, you know, and I do have the freedom to move about, and I've created that for myself. I wanted to be free and to work wherever I wanted to, and that's what I have. And so now, you know, it's like really set in, and it's like, wow, I have it. Thank you. And then how do I expand on that? So that's really what Rooms Servicio has evolved into. And, you know, and it is related a lot to wellness, self-care, you know, and making it your own. So, you know, staying balanced and making each space you're in, you know, your home wherever you go, because if with those tools, you can, you really can be, well, I mean, home is where the heart is. Home is within you is something I've learned through my travels. But, you know, the working within the walls that you're, that surround you and that roof over your head, wherever that may be, and what that means to you. Well, one, on my personal journey, it was getting to what are my essentials? Like what is essential to my needs on the go? What do I need to feel right? secure? Because
it's interesting, because I mean, you know, I even just in the last few months or whatever, when I was traveling, I'm living out of a suitcase, mm-hmm. but I still felt like I just had too many things. Like, I'm like, I still don't need this whole suitcase. Like, you can condense it down to such few things, and it just makes you feel secure, like when they're the correct things.
It can be freeing and also terrifying, you know, when you look and you see your suitcase and you're like, that is my life.
I know.
So it does take a certain type of person and mentality. It's not for everybody, you know, and perhaps it's, yeah, people can tap into it and utilize a lot of these tools for maybe their trips, but the nomadic lifestyle is quite, it's very challenging, but also very rewarding. I do think when you are traveling, there is budgets in mind. And if you're like me, I want to save up money to go in a luxurious spa or, you know, every once in a while, treat myself to one of those super nice hotels, you know, and just go all out, like get the room service, stay in and really make use of it, because it's just so fun.
100%. 100%. Well, and especially for someone like you who's spent a lot of time designing these really fantastic spaces, you have another level of appreciation for the care and attention that goes into like, a beautiful, well-designed space.
Yeah, you it just, and I would say that most people can sense a well-designed space when they enter. They may not be able to say why they like it, but there's a sense, there's just an essence about a space that you can feel when, you know, someone's put the time and energy into what the curve on the floorboards look like, or what is the ceiling material and the trim, and how does the chandelier meet the ceiling? What is that detail? Because there's just so much thought, and really, I mean, if it's thought and energy, you know, that's put into it, and you can really sense it.
When did you start utilizing and really incorporating the feng shui aspects of the space? Have you always done that? Has that sort of, I mean, I'm sure to some extent you've sort of always included that, but when was that shift to really, really focus on the energetics?
Sure. Yeah. I had studied it in college, but when that tipping point for me was 3 years ago. And it was while I was still working with Brand Bureau, which is a part of Avroco, and they, the directors, they definitely knew, you know, I loved my astrology, tarot cards, that kind of thing. and they were so supportive of me doing things outside of work. You know, I picked up some side projects, and I really thank them for allowing me to do that. And they saw it as, this is great, you know, because when a colleague is doing something outside and, you know, they're doing it on their own, you learn like really hands-on things. Plus I shared with them some of the innovative things going on. Like, for example, one was in the Levin Howard Hotel, putting infrared saunas in place of the beds in these hotel rooms that were above the club, and they were having to refund the money to guests because of all the noise. They didn't think about the sound transfer. So, you know, this was a really quite sustainable solution, you know, a 5-year lease on a sauna, you know, little infrared sauna that could then, you know, be taken out as well. So, you know, they store the beds, they lease them and see where it goes. And so that, you know, that's sounds very practical and works, but then I was able to put my whole feng shui spin on it. And, you know, I personally don't practice the traditional feng shui. It's, sure. it's evolved into, my own way of doing it. And that's what I share with people. It's a lot of common sense and a lot of keeping things tidy, clean, simple, and with intention. And yes. so that's how I work with my clients. And that was the start of room service, was really, you know, getting to the nitty gritty of what is the intention for the space and also allowing room for it to shift and grow. We were in this period of our lives where it's still transient. And so that was my unique perspective, was that I knew that these were transient. And so how could we do this in sustainable ways that could be, that know they're probably going to be changed, you know, at some point. So not, you know, investing too much in like these permanent built-in things, and doing it in the best possible way, perhaps most of the time using resources that are already available to them. So it also helped with money, because a lot of the startups, they had big dreams. And then when they get the budget back, yeah, the bill, they were like, oh, that's how much it costs. Exactly. You know, and there's a bit of a teaching
of a designer.
Yeah, it's true. And that's what I really had to learn, how to educate people on how much time and effort goes into it. And you know, how to appreciate it, you know, because oftentimes, you know, we see the finished product. We see the pretty photo at the end and have no awareness of all of the hours and time spent in it. And that's fine. They're, you know, designers, a gifted designer can work on any budget. You know, it's just being clear on what the budget is and what other resources they have. It's doesn't all need to be done at once. You know, it's Absolutely. Nice, especially hospitality spaces, to keep coming back and have it fresh, because that encourages you that you can keep going back to the same place. So there's that familiarity that people go to love. They've got the people there, the staff that, you know, if it's a strong team, the staff is staying. And if they can return, and there's always something a little different, it keeps it light and fresh and playful, youthful.
So you did a lot of your work at Avrico. You also worked at David Mexico. Mm-hmm. I know you've got just like some really fantastic work through both of those firms. What's like the favorite, your favorite project sort of that you worked on?
You know, the one that always that resonates the most with me, and it was the one on the tightest budget with the most restrictions on the tightest deadline. But it was my dream project, and that was a tiki bar. And it was this tiki bar
so cute.
In Bermuda for the America's Cup in the Fairmont Southampton. They had this old wine cellar, bar, I think it was even called the cellar, that it was a place on the property that was just sitting there. And so we had to really think about what to do, because one, shipping over to an island, you know, and dealing with customs. And we did have some delays, you know, with that. So we had to be really resourceful. There was a lot of brand partnerships, because we were working with Gosling's Rum, which was local to the area. They were a big part of the project. And that liquor company was connected to some other brands like Absolut Elixir. So we were able to get all those copper pineapples through them, which was fantastic. I feel like you might have seen one of the copper pineapples in the house. I had a few, not all of them.
Oh, no, totally. Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, people tend to...
The little cups.
Yeah. And so we had all of those to work with. Furniture was really challenging because there wasn't much available on the island, and our budget did not allow us to buy anything new. So I had to hunt all over the hotel and basically, you know, be like,
those projects where it's like the last minute and like you're just like scrounging, I feel like those are the most fun because they make you start using this part of your brain that's like survival mode where you're just like, okay, I'm gonna make something work, and it just makes you so creative.
Oh yeah. And there was someone on the team that they're like, hey, I think you need to see something, and they showed me this storage room. And oh my gosh, it was like the treasure chest unlocked when we opened that door, because it was all this old nautical furniture. And
what?
They had chairs with pineapple fabric. And I was like, you have to be kidding me. It was great. And we had this big inspiration with, there was framed prints, like those botanical prints on the wall. And one of them said pineapple tribe. And one of the clients we really wanted to call this that, but we brought that pineapple tribe essence into the space. It was called the rum cellar. Yeah. And it was also a big kind of wink, wink, nod to the gentleman that vetoed the pineapple tribe name, because the pineapple just kept appearing everywhere. You know, it was like, oh, exactly. You know, you can't push it away. It's part of the space.
And it wants to be involved.
Yeah. And it was really fun. And we, I think what I also enjoyed is it was super cool when the winning team from New Zealand celebrated there.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was such a rewarding experience, and it really worked the design muscles.
For sure.
I mean, being able at the end of the day to have a drink out of a copper pineapple in the bar you designed, you know, you're like, I love tiki drinks. So to have that, and to, you know, that it was so incredible, you know, and to experience that. So
how do you think that you're, I'm just trying to figure out your role exactly in the brand bureau at Everkill, because they, you know, Everkill is largely like a interior design firm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Are they actually, it's interior design, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They like,
and then, you know, obviously you have like, what makes them so great is they have this like in-house brand bureau, and then they, you know, they have their own in-house like lighting and furniture designer and all these things. And it's awesome. But I'm for you, your role was interior design, but on the brand bureau team?
Yeah. So what was great about, for me and brand bureau, what really was a strong selling point to most of our clients was we were a full service branding agency. So we had the strategists, and the strategists that worked with one, the brand, and two, the hospitality strategy. We have the graphic design team, and then the interior design team. So it was, you know, soup to nuts. We could really do everything. And I think now they even work with the social media and marketing side as well. They've expanded upon. So, you know, for brands that wanted to stay relevant or to take it to the next level, because a lot of the projects I personally worked on were in places like Atlanta or Bentonville, Arkansas, and some of these, I guess they're technically called like a second tier city. I mean, they're still like a major city, but, you know, different level than New York and LA would be at. So,
sure.
You know, they wanted a certain sophistication and cohesion throughout. And, you know, Averco is that jewel box, very bespoke, you know, design that is beautiful. It's wonderful. Yeah. And Brand Bureau was a bit more playful and fun. So, you know, with that, they could expand into different market sectors than just being in the Averco silo. So, and Brand Bureau, it wasn't just hospitality. Like there's, you know, residential spaces, there's bars. Sometimes it was just the website and kind of graphics presentation, wayfinding. So it and even I think when I was still there, we even worked with some certain hotels that just wanted to shoot some ideas around with us, brainstorm.
So that's exactly what I was. I was on that team in at Ken Folk. So it was exactly that. Actually, right now, it's what I'm looking at for myself to like find a strategist that I can kind of work with. So if you know any brand strategists, you let me know.
You know what I do? I link you to, remind me to link you to Jillian, because that's who was popping up when you were mentioning it to me. And she was specifically in the hospitality team from San Francisco. And yeah, she's, yeah, she even came and stayed in Tulum. So you've both stayed in the same room.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss that room.
Yes.
But yes, but I think that's such like a great selling point. And that's really what I'm trying to hit, is basically like being an expert on all kind of levels. So I need, you know, I need people that I'm working with to cover the bases that I don't individually cover, but I do, I love that.
Well, it was growing pains at first, but we really, because we're so used to working in our little silos of interior designers over here, strategists here, you know, like you do that and then you come together and you look at everybody's work and you're like, it doesn't fit, you know?
Isn't it weird? Yeah. I know. It's so funny because it's like you're in the same company and you're still not quite communicating. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Yeah.
So it took us a while, and we had some really strong people on the team. Like on ours, Sonia was a big driver and like, guys, we need to work together. And so we would get the teams early on, you know, like even if graphic designers wouldn't start till much later on, they were still a part of the, like the strategists were there from in the beginning, and then they would taper out, you know? And so we had all these times when we'd come on and off, but we had to bring everybody together early on, plan out the team, get to know the team. And then you would just send them the information throughout so that, you know, they could, you know, they didn't have to get so into the details, but they could glance over it. And then it started to become familiar to them. So that it wasn't blindsided. Yes. And it took, I think that's also why, you know, like we briefly worked together and you got to meet Kara or digitally meet, who she was on the brand bureau team with me. And so I just got in the habit of,
I didn't know that.
She did my logo and brand design 3 years ago. Like it was her and
I love it.
After work, you know, she'd come over my desk and show me. And it was really great too, because the directors really loved it. They're like, oh, this is so cool that you guys are working together. And it, you know, it since have, she's gotten so many, she's actually designed a lot more brands for people that have left after. So, that's what's also great, I would say, about that firm and something that I took away is, that detachment from people, you know, and staff. I mean, you can, like, everybody has their lives and, you know, you give them the best opportunities, and then some might, you know, go and leave, and they have been so supportive. And I think that's why so many people have left and then they'll come back too, because
I think that speaks volumes about a company, to be honest. That does not happen in a lot of places, most places, to be honest. So tell me a little bit about, I didn't know this before, but you have you're a little restaurateur as well, and you have a cookbook. Tell me about those, because that's like a little secret life of Morgan I didn't know about.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean that's why with this time to reflect and even thinking about all that I've done, I was like, I have been in many facets of hospitality. And so the cookbooks were linked during the recession. I was living in Seattle. It was my first job after graduate school, and my hours got cut because a lot of people were reducing the hours just because of the economy. And so I was like, okay, what do I do with these extra days? And another design friend and I, who we both shared the love for or passion for baking, and we're like, you know what, desserts are not bad. We should just make them smaller. And so we fantasized about making pies, like in a cupcake tin,
you
like mini
just
pies.
Make them smaller.
Yeah,
I love
make
that.
It smaller. So with that, Mini Empire was born, and we started making mini pies, and then expanded to a few other miniaturized treats. And those led to our cookbooks. And it was really funny because when we first got the email reaching out being like, hey, we'd like you to write a cookbook, we thought it was spam. We're like, is this real? Like, how did you find us?
That's amazing.
But we're like, well, let's check it out. And we called them, and it was a Ulysses Press out of San Francisco, and they...
Wait, and this was just from your postings?
Yeah, we
Oh my
they
God,
somehow
that's so neat.
Found us. I mean, we didn't even have like a super strong web presence, but they somehow found us. And so our
that's so cool.
First cookbook is on mini pies, still on Amazon. And
nice.
It's super cool to see that like in the local bookstore, in Barnes and Nobles.
Right.
Yeah. And my grandmother had written cookbooks, so it was like kept that in the family.
That's too cute. That's adorable.
And yeah, so we did mini pies and then petite treats, and we called it petite treats because in the midst of this Starbucks, you know, is in the same city, you know, Seattle, as us, and you know you've made it when Starbucks starts copying you. And we noticed that they had, you know, a similar dessert offering to ours. And I think they called it something around petite, you know, well, petite treats. And so we were like, well, I mean, this with the publisher kind of nudging us, we were like, well, let's just name your next cookbook then. So we just,
yes.
'Cause we were making mini scones, scookies, as we called them. And we had mini cupcakes, and basically it took any kind of traditional dessert and made it tiny.
So
that was a really fun journey. And then towards the end of that, there was a Seattle exodus, and I just felt the urge to do something bigger. And so headed to New York, and was kind of figuring things out. Like, I moved there without a job or anything, was just like, okay, I'll figure it out. And got linked to this vegan bakery in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, near the Lorimer L train stop. And the owner and I, you know, I talked about maybe, you know, picking up a few shifts there baking, and we got to talking. I was like, you know, you've got a really great location. Your products are really good. And I was like, well, I have a background in interior design. Like, why don't we, you know, can I help you? Basically, can I help you by freshen this up? Because there was just no aesthetic much at all. Besides, they had this lovely death before decaf sign in the window. It was very iconic. And he had this dream to do a 50s style diner, but like all vegan. And I said, well, let's do it. And we had a like no budget. Like we got like a, I think it was maybe like a $5,000 investment from a friend. And he said, we have like a week to turn this thing over. So with a lot of planning and
like on a reality
yeah,
show.
and scouring Craigslist and you know, we kind of found all these old vintage booths and things. And then he got a van one day and drove all over to get them. And we had one carpenter during the day, and I would come after work and, you know, paint or do everything. But it was also crazy because I was working in events in New York at that time. And we had this huge install, and I hadn't even mentioned to them I was doing this bakery on the side. So I was doing this install that was going on, and it was insanity. It was New York at its, like, it was welcome to New York, you know. Your dreams can come true if you, you know, put in the effort.
How long had you been there at that point? I mean,
it had been about 3-4 months. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, So you just move there and then you just get right to work.
Oh, yeah. It really just really lined up there. And I mean, I did sacrifice a lot of my social life, and that's when I was like, okay, this is unsustainable. And but yeah, so that after all of that, I was able to get some sweat equity into Champs, which was the name of the space. And then also I think I had a very minimal investment of money into it. And it then grew to, at our biggest point, we had 6 different locations of varying varying concepts, and then went down to about 4. And it's evolving right now. I mean, it's hard to say what will happen, but my portion of it, I think that chapter is closed. It was a wonderful experience.
For a while, it was just like, how did that? It was you and this one other person, or what was it?
It was us at first. He had had a partner prior that had stepped down. And so with that, it was a great time to, you know, refresh something. You know, you could see it as like a breakup in a way. And then when we, you know, we also had that other investor. And then with the other concepts, he brought on more investors. And so it became this family of sorts. Because I think that's something that we don't often hear about, is how many people are involved in, you know, hospitality. It's not just one chef or one person. There's often that person on the face of it, but there's a huge team behind it that you don't always see. And I mean, the staffing alone, it was incredible how many people it takes to run, you know, even just a small, you know, 2,000 square foot restaurant. You know, it's
impressive. It's a really, I'm always incredibly impressed by anyone that successfully does it.
And it's a commitment. I mean, I had to step down because I was exploring my interior design career more, and because I was doing interior design, moonlighting as the bakery manager, and then delivering the baked goods to the wholesale clients in the morning, and it was insane. But that first year you're putting in a lot of work because it's what's required. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't even profit from it until much later. So you really invest in yourself then. But you really have to be passionate about what you're making in hospitality, because it's what fuels you. If you don't have that passion.
Well, and I think there is that commonality, and that's what I keep finding the more I'm sort of really honing in on this niche is, you know, people in the restaurant industry, they're creatives at heart. Like, even if it's service, you know, if you're a mixologist, you're creating, and like the personality type is just, for me, I just resonate with. And I think it is because it's one of those things that you have to like get down and dirty to make it work. And whether you're the creator of a restaurant or the chef or the people on the floor, like, it's all of it. That's what I love about it. And it's the same with designers, where it's like, you have to love what you're doing, or it's not going to be worth your time. And then out of all these places, so let me see if I got all these. We've got Nebraska, San Diego, Milan, a little bit of Texas, a touch of Texas, Seattle, and then New York, and then Tulum. And then now you're in Melbourne, but
I was in Sydney for the beginning of this year, and the intention was to stay around there a little bit longer. And I was in Melbourne traveling, and then this happened, and it just felt a lot better just to stay put. I had a lot of friends and a community here, and it really got me when, you know, everybody was saying, go home, you know, stay home. And when you're a nomad,
it's weird, right?
Because you're living so differently from the rest of the world. And you do know that home is inside you, but when, you know, it's the media is telling you one thing, it can really get to you and be like, okay, what does that mean? And I mean, yeah, and that links back to that security.
Like?
What helps me feel secure in myself? And yes, I can be anywhere and anywhere, but I really needed to secure a space for, you know, that time is what it meant. Yeah. So
yeah,
that was.
I'm so glad that it sounds like you have a really good group of people around you and that you have a community.
Yeah. I mean, it's really they're great. Definitely a different pace than New York. And.
But I feel like that's kind of needed, right? Like, I feel like that's a
good. Yeah. Like it also showed me it, like it shined light on all the past connections I've made, you know, and the richness to them. And, you know, there's still something to be said about being open to newcomers, but to have a little bit of balance, and I've formed stronger or reconnected with a lot of people that I've met over the years in all these different places because of this. Yeah. And I mean, it's also because of that, it's what's bringing me back. I guess I haven't quite mentioned it to you, but I'm coming back to the States.
I mean, you know, what's nice is that like nothing has to be, that's what I keep telling myself. That has been a mental shift. And I'm sure you've understood this for longer than I have, but just like, that doesn't mean it's forever. You know, like, you know, even coming back, you know, I came back to Kansas, family stuff, but I had such a resistance to it because I felt like I was, like my adventure was over prematurely and like, you know, and that's not the case. You know, we can resume at any point, but I understand that it's a weird feeling if it wasn't in your original plans. But I love that. I mean,
yeah,
I do go back and forth a lot.
I guess,
I mean, more than
I think,
most,
well, I mean, I last think. Year I was bouncing around and what I did learn is it's a little better to, you know, stay in a place and make those roots, even if they're for a month or, you know, maybe, or, you know, 4 months is kind of a nice number to work within, because then you can build stronger connections with people. And it's not so transient. You can actually, you know, still be nomadic, take the time to explore around and see everything at your own pace. And last year I got to see my own country through a new lens, being around, friends of mine that, you know, they were from Argentina, and really seeing it and even just speaking Spanish. And
I love that you did that. That makes me like, I had never really encountered anyone doing that. And I just love that you came back from Mexico and you kind of, you know, high end backpacked around
the States, and it really showed me what is in my backyard, you know, and what I wasn't taking advantage of. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in these times where we're being asked to stay home or go home, and it's like, well, you look around at your resources, and you're like, wow, our country's pretty beautiful and amazing, you know, besides all of this, you know, if maybe we all just need to go and spend more time in nature and actually appreciate it and breathe that air. Yeah. So it's like, well, that seems to be what's calling me back, and being close to
great.
Family, you know, whether it be blood related or that, you know, just soul family. It's really hitting home to me more than ever. Yeah. So
that's
the next chapter. I have no idea what I'm getting myself into, but that's the fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's the fun, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited to hear that. Okay. So is there anything else? This was so much fun. I really appreciate you. I mean, this was such a long conversation and I apologize. I don't think you expected to be talking to me for this long, but
I'm enjoying this as well, because it's, I mean, even with that questionnaire, it really had me reflect, and I was like, I mean, honestly, it was like, holy shit, like I've done a lot, you know, and I hadn't really stopped to really look at, I mean, really think back of all what I've seen and done and designed and, you know, where I've been and where I came from.
Yeah,
I was
where you're
like, it's
living,
like, wow,
you're
no
doing
wonder
it.
I'm being asked to ground. It's like, I've had quite an adventure, from, yeah. So, it feels on like very aligned to go back. And, I mean, there'll still be my
Good.
nomadic spin, you know, notice how I'm still just saying
Of
California. I'm
course.
not tied to, you know, a city. Yeah,
Yeah, you
and
can be
you know,
anywhere.
I think that's still a part of my life. I'm a little girl. I dreamed of having my house hitched up behind me. So this might be the time where that's coming to life.
Well, it makes me really happy. No, I'm excited for this next little chapter. I think it'll be really great, and I'm
Me
excited you're coming
too.
back.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to mention or talk about or say before we sign off?
Well, you know what? I'm just since we're putting a lot out there, yeah, I'm going to be designing the hospitality experience that goes to space.
Does that mean? Tell me
Well,
more.
it's like what happens, you know, before they get on the shuttle, what happens during, and then how are they reintegrated back into society after going, you know, out of this world? You know, how do you come back to planet Earth? What do you do? What do you want to do? So that's,
That's amazing. I
I
feel
think
like I
that's
need
all I
more
can give right
information.
now.
Oh my God, I adore you. You're the best. That makes me so happy. What's going on?
We'll leave some
That's so cool.
surprises to unfold, but yeah.
All right, I
Oh.
just fucking adore you. Thank you so much for talking with me, and I'll let you go.
Oh, thanks,
All right,
man.
I love you.
Still
Thank you
loving
so
time
much
with
for doing this,
you.
Morgan.
And see you soon enough, you know?